on the field and inside the clubhouse. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now broadcasting live from American Family Field, here's Greg Mattson.
Well, they outlasted the Mariners to pick up their fifth win of the season. The Brewers now 5-1, 2-1 on the home field after a ninth inning walk-off walk of a win over Seattle on the home field. 6-5 the final. Welcome in. It's Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Greg Mancic with you until 11:30. We'll take your calls here at 855-616-1620. Dom Catronio on assignment tonight. He'll be back tomorrow. I got you till 11:30 at 855-616-1620. Lots of time to get through what we witnessed at American Family Field. That was another strong start from Freddy Peralta until his final inning. We saw a collection of issues with the bullpen down the stretch, some pretty good bullpen work before that, and some timely hitting in the long ball for the Milwaukee Brewers. So a lot to unpack here after a 6-5 win for the Milwaukee Brewers. Happy to be joined by former Brewers reliever Jerry Augustine, who also watched tonight's win. Augie, let's start with the ninth inning. You know, Abner Uribe is a flamethrower. He is a young reliever. He is going to have to get used to high leverage situations. It gets away from him in the ninth, but then the Brewers respond. It really got away from Andreas Munoz. Walk me through that situation. You walk the leadoff batter. It's 5-5 in the ninth inning, and then everything just sort of snowballed. The Brewers hardly took the bat off their shoulder in earning a win in walk-off fashion.
Yeah, you know, once in a while when you get in a game like that, you walk that leadoff hitter. He was just missing early, and the first hitter just wasn't throwing strikes, but it just seemed like he lost control, couldn't handle the pitch on the inside part of plate, didn't have an idea where the ball was. You get through that, and it seemed like the only success that he had in that inning was throwing a breaking ball for a strike. And we saw that the last pitch, a breaking ball on the outside part of plate. But that happens. You get relievers. When you, especially you throw as hard as Munoz does, every once in a while you try to overthrow a little bit. You come out of outside your delivery, you just can't find it. You can't find the strike zone, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and in that situation, I suppose if you're a hitter in the ninth inning, if you're Sal Frelick, you end up on base, and you're Jake Bowers, you get into the batter's box, you're trying to make that pitcher work a little bit more, right? It's different in the ninth inning than, let's say, if this were the fourth or fifth inning.
Well, the whole key was Frelick in getting that walk. As soon as Frelick got the walk, you saw that he was having some struggles out there of throwing strikes. So what do the Brewers do? They become very patient. I thought that was the key to the game tonight, is the Brewers patient at the plate. Not only late in the ball game, but throughout the whole ball game, and making the Seattle pitchers throw strikes. So patience at the plate by the Brewers tonight really won them the ball game. And, you know, when you get a pitcher like Munoz, the kind of guy that a little bit unorthodox, those kind of low three quarters, those guys in those types of deliveries really have to keep their weight back. They have to stay on top, stay on the side of the ball, and they have to drive right to the plate. It just looked like Munoz was just getting a little bit rushed, couldn't find it, and is dragging his arm. Anytime you drag your arm in a position that he throws the ball, you're going to have a hard time throwing strikes, and that's exactly what happened.
We'll dive into the Brewers' bullpen effort tonight following the start from Freddy Peralta. So Peralta goes 5 2/3 innings, and the final line, I don't know if it's indicative of just how well he pitched in the early going. He ends up with 3 earned runs on his ledger and 4 hits allowed, 7 strikeouts, just 1 walk. So the command was there, but it did sort of elude him in that final inning. He wasn't able to get to 6 complete, Augie. What did you see? What escaped Freddy in his final inning of work that allowed the Mariners to get back in and ultimately tie this game?
Well, you know, I thought after the leadoff walk to Crawford, I thought Freddie was fantastic. You talk about a guy who really dominated the lower part of the strike zone and was able to throw his breaking ball for strikes, using it all at all times, changing the speeds on it a little bit, and elevating his fastball when he wanted to. And I thought Freddie was really good tonight. And anytime you get a pitcher who can command the ball down in the zone, especially that good breaking ball that he has, that slider that he has, and then throw the fastball down in the zone, you're going to be pretty successful. And, you know, it looks just like Freddie when he got into that last inning a little bit. Now, here's another guy. There's 2 styles of pitchers, Greg. There's a pitchers that are what they call tall and fall. And those guys kind of throw over the top a little bit, and they come down at the plate. Freddie's a little bit different. He's more of what they call a duck and drive, where he kind of drives to the plate. He actually pitches to the right side of the mound And when he steps a little bit towards third base, so he throws across his body. So balance and staying on top, staying back is so important. And I just thought that last inning he got away from himself a little bit. Got a little bit of rush. You didn't see the velocity or the location that he had early in the ballgame. I thought that last inning he struggled a little bit, got behind hitters, and then made some pretty good pitches, and Seattle was able to take advantage of him.
Yeah, Crawford started that inning with a single to left field. Freddie hit the next batter, so now all of a sudden he got runners on first and second. He'd get Polanco on a pop-out to shortstop. But then three straight hits. He had a wild pitch in there, too, which sort of changed the complexion of the inning. And ultimately, Brian Hudson came in for Peralta. It seemed like the fastball command, like you mentioned, Augie, just was a little bit off, but then he couldn't back it up with the slider because that also seemed to sort of flatten out a little bit there. And that's got to be tricky when you're a pitcher in that situation. You lose a little bit of command on one pitch, but you don't have that other pitch that you can rely on. Freddie has become much more than just a fastball pitcher. It just got away from him a little bit that inning.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you said it perfectly. The breaking ball got flat. And just like I said a little bit before, when you have the style of pitcher that Freddie Peralta is, he's what they call a duck and drive. He doesn't throw the ball on top. He doesn't stay real tall in his delivery. He kind of ducks and he drives to play. Plus, he throws across his body. So it's very important that, number one, he stays back and he stays well balanced. And then when he goes to plate, he keeps his arm as much on top of the ball as he can. And it just seemed that last inning, when you talked about the ball getting flat, when you rush, your arm drags. And when you do arm drags, the ball gets a little bit flat there. And that's exactly what happened. His breaking ball got a little bit flat. He lost a little bit of location, didn't have that good movement on the fastball that he had earlier in the game. And those things are going to happen. And those happen late in the ballgame. Usually when you get up in that 80 to 100 pitches, you get a little bit tired. This was longer than he went last game. I just about tell you what he went last game. And I think it really had a big effect on him in that last inning.
Augie, I want to ask you about what I thought was a key decision made by Pat Murphy in the game in the later innings of this 6-5 win. We'll do that coming up on the other side. Just getting started here, it's Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. A walk-off win for the Brewers, quite literally. Four straight walks in the bottom of the ninth. They hang on to beat the Mariners 6-5 to improve to 5-1. 855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us. Just getting started here, it's Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Three home runs for the Brewers power their way to victory, and four straight walks. I guess not four straight walks, but four consecutive walks. Yeah, you had the strikeout by Jackson Churio. Four walks in the ninth inning. They ultimately plate the winning run and earn a 6-5 win over the Seattle Mariners. Tight game at American Family Field. What else is new, right? Brewers play a close one, but eke out a victory in front of the home crowd. Greg Matzik and Jerry Augustine with you. It's Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Augie, let's go to the back end of the sixth inning. So Freddie Peralta gets into trouble. Like we outlined here, Brian Hudson comes in, the lefty who is very tough on lefties. You can see his motion. You understand why he's tough on lefties. He gets the final couple outs of that inning, and then he comes back out in the seventh. I thought it was a really interesting decision from Pat Murphy here because Luis Urias steps into the batter's box as a righty in the seventh inning. The Brewers are leading 4-3. J.P. Crawford is a lefty. Okay, that makes sense. You leave him in there. But then you had Rodriguez as a right-handed batter with Elvis Peguero warming up in the bullpen. So put the manager hat on. If you're Pat Murphy, you've got the lefty who's tough on lefties, doesn't have the same splits against righties. How do you thread the needle of that decision, whether to go to the righty in Peguero or kind of hang with your gut because Hudson had been pitching so well?
Well, I think that's one thing. That's one of the toughest things you do as a manager. I think you have to look at the way Hudson was throwing the ball. He's keeping the ball down. It has that good sinking movement. He and both Milner have that low three-quarter arm throwing spot that they throw the ball from, so the ball has a different type of movement on there. You usually don't give up a lot of home runs and keep the ball playing. But I think a lot has to do with Hudson, the way he threw the ball in New York. He was throwing strikes. He went right after hitters. He made some really good pitches when he needed to. And I thought Murph right there, I said, you know, here's where you make some decisions where you give that pitcher that extra confidence. it pays off as you go on through the season when they get that extra confidence. So it was, I think, for Murphy, he thought about it for a little bit, about going and getting Pagano. But I think the big thing was right there, I'm going to wait one more hitter. I'm going to let him face that, give him a little bit of confidence, see what happens, and it paid off tonight.
So is that where, you know, gut feeling trumps analytics? And I'm going to try not to do this year, but I found myself thinking, I wonder what would have happened a year ago in the same situation. Do you play the analytics, the numbers, what the matchups say, or do you go with your gut feeling? I think in this instance, to your point, I think Pat chose gut over analytics, and it worked.
Confidence in your pitchers, confidence in your players. Every time you make a move in Major League Baseball where you're a manager, it's the toughest thing to do, Greg, is to figure out what you want to do. Analytics is there. You understand the analytical part of it, but still it's that gut part. What am I going to do? Can I challenge this young pitcher that's new to our staff and give him a vote of confidence? Because you know what? It's going to pay off down the road. He's going to have that confidence. Every time he comes in, he's going to go full out no matter who he's facing. And I think that's what Murph was. I think Murph understands that. He's a former college coach and that we've talked about, the youngest college coach in NCAA history to get the 500 wins. So he's been around baseball so long. He understands it. He understands the confidence that these pitchers need. And I thought tonight was a confidence builder. I think he got to a position saying, you know, that guy gave me Hutchinson gave me a good outing last time. I'm going to go one more. I'm going to see what happens here. And it paid off.
Have you been in a situation like that where you kind of make eye contact with the manager, you're on the mound, and you just kind of say with your eyes, stay in the dugout, I'm good, I'm going to handle this, and you can see it, right? It's that nonverbal communication that lets you know you're in a good spot.
That's that relationship that you have with your pitchers, Greg. I can remember at times on being on my – I remember being a coach at UWM and having the confidence in the pitchers the same way and saying, you know, I'm going to be a little gutsy here and see what happens and see if it works out. And then after, learn. But that's a relationship you have with your players. And I can remember a couple of times when I'd be out on the mound and all of a sudden I'd look in and whether it was Bambi or whomever it was on the lookout and the – you could see him not even taking that step up because he said, you know what, this is your game. This is what I want you to go out, and I want you to prove to me that you can get through this. And I'll tell you what, pitchers see that, and there is that relationship, Greg. I thought you'd bring up a great point there, that the relationship, just eye contact. You know, and you know what that manager wants from when just looking at him, because that good, sound relationship you have with your players is so important.
Want to dive into the night on the offensive side of the ball coming up on the other side. An entertaining game here for the Brewers. They jump out to a 3-0 lead. Mariners come back to tie it. They chase Freddie Peralta for the game. He had been brilliant up until that final inning of work. Brewers sneak ahead on what appear to be some insurance runs after a home run by Christian Yelich, and then ultimately win it in the ninth inning. Four walks in the ninth inning played the winning run. So 6-5, the final. We'll detail the night of offense coming up. Augie, can you hang around one more segment? I want to talk bats with you. I know you're a pitcher, but I want to talk bats.
Oh, I think offense. I think a lot of offense.
Okay, good man. Augie's hanging out with me. It's Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Looking for his first homer, and this one driven out to right. That might be it. Heading towards the porch and gone. Willy Adames gives the Brewers a 1-0 lead.
Home runs from Willy Adames, Oliver Dunn, and Christian Yelich power the Brewers to a victory. 6-5, the final at American Family Field. The Brewers improved to 5-1. The Mariners fall to 3-5. Brewers Extra Innings continues here on WTMJ. Greg Magic and Jerry Augustine with you after the Brewers pick up a walk-off victory. It was walks, and I hesitate to even say small ball. Brewers hardly took the bat off their shoulders in the ninth inning, but they were able to get the win. But using the long ball early on in the game, it's nice to see Willy Adames go deep. Oliver Dunn hits his first home run as a big leaguer. Christian Yelich hits one that hasn't landed yet. What tells me, Augie, is that, you know, the Brewers are finding different ways and different people to help lead to victory. This is not a team that I think is going to mash its way to victory left and right, but they showed tonight they've got it in them to do it if needed. We've seen a little bit more small ball, stolen base kind of stuff in the first week or so of the season. I think you have to be multidimensional if you're this Brewers team in order to work your way to, you know, being in playoff contention. And tonight was sort of a different dynamic. It was a little more based on the long ball than what we've seen.
Well, I think when you look at this ball club and you look at this ballpark, it's conducive to hitting home runs. And tonight I thought Willy Adames, the first swing, we see Willy Adames swinging the bat, staying on the bat, hitting the ball the opposite way, he's really dialed in. And what else can you say about Christian and the way he's been swinging the bat? I mean, they hit the ball like, pull the ball like that. We don't see that too often. But Oliver Dunn has got a good pitch to hit, a little breakable up in his zone. And, you know, these young kids have come in and they're having the abilities to go in a game and prove themselves to their managers, say, hey, I can help your ball club or help this organization. And you got to like what they're doing. And I thought tonight was a big night for Oliver Dunn and Joey Ortiz. They both came up with some big solid hits. We're big in this Brewer win. So this is a good way to win a ball game. You always want to win that first game of a series. But one thing I really like, Christian Bjelage's home run, I thought was super important. They had just scored 3 runs to tie it. Right then, what happens? Christian comes up, hits that big home run, gives them the lead. Allows the bullpen to go to work. It didn't work out tonight as well as they wanted it to, but they still got the win because they had the 4 walks, the walk-off win tonight. But being able to strike when the other team striking back is so important. They did that tonight.
You know, in one of the interesting things about this season, just given the roster complexion, is we're uncorking a first almost every night. There's a first for something. Jackson Chourio's first hit, his first RBI, first stolen base as a big leaguer, first home run. Well, tonight you had another first. You had Oliver Dunn's first career home run. He's played pretty strong defense at third base, getting some time there because, frankly, Garrett Mitchell's injured. That means Sal Frelick's got to play a little more center field when we thought you'd see a little more of Sal Frelick playing third. So Oliver Dunn, this is his first chance in the big leagues, right? Kind of a double-A player, didn't do much of anything at triple-A, skipped to the big leagues, showed that he belonged during the course of spring training, and Pat Murphy's rewarding him with some opportunities, but he's also making the most out of those opportunities, and he was a central figure in tonight's win. Beyond the home run, just making, you know, hard contact and hitting a sharp ground ball that, you know, scooted over the head of the shortstop and into center field for what we thought could be an insurance run. But how important is that run in a 6-5 win? So he comes up big on a couple of occasions tonight, not just a deep ball, but in a tough situation against a tough pitcher.
I agree with you, Greg. I thought that's a great point you brought up. And I think what we're seeing now is the Murph impact. And what I mean by the Murph impact is when you watch his ball club at the end of spring training and how he was playing, the guys that you see playing now, the younger kids that are getting opportunities, are the guys who stuck out in spring training. You take a guy like Joey Ortiz and Oliver Dunn. These guys played hard and they played really well. So being on the club now, Murph is rewarding them, saying, "Hey, I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm going to not set limits. I'm going to give you the chance to get in ball games to see how you can help our ball club." And it's really paying off. I think that's where you go with Murph saying, you know what, I have 26 guys on this ball club, but they all mean somebody. I'm going to make sure that everybody gets that opportunity. And he's giving opportunities to young kids, and these young kids are stepping up.
You know, what does it say for the development of a guy like Oliver Dunn, who last year at AA hit .271, right? I mean, his stats are not eye-popping here. He's kind of a doubles guy, hit 21 home runs, so there's a little pop there. Was a pretty good run producer, drew some walks, pretty high strikeout total. But 271 at AA doesn't scream starting third baseman at the major league level the very next year, but he's done it.
He has, and you got to give him credit. But there we go. Let's go back to spring training. That's something historically that this organization has done. And go back to when David Stern was here. Getting young players in spring training the opportunity to prove that they can play in the big league level. And that's the way how Murph worked at this spring training. A lot of the guys, the regular players, they went and hit minor league games but when you come up to the major league game, these guys late in the ball game or these guys starting ball games got opportunities. They got opportunities to prove themselves. They had confidence, and Murph felt they were a style of ball player that would help his ball club. They kept them around. I think when you think about the makeup of this team, Greg, I think you have to give kudos to Matt Arnold, what he's done with this organization, how he's given Murph something to work with. But I think you got to also give credit to Murph because he understands a young player. He understands what it is being from the college level and then working with under Craig Counsell. He understands that, and I think that's really paying off right now for this ball club.
You know, I'll be curious to see how they continue to manage the bullpen here, Augie, until Devin Williams comes back. There is a domino effect, right? If Williams goes out, that means somebody else has to assume closer's duty. And tonight that was Abner Uribe, and, you know, while he gets the win, he doesn't get the save and a save opportunity. We know Piguero and Piamps are high-leverage guys with a little experience there. But maybe you have to go to somebody a little bit earlier in a game than you want because of the fact that you don't have Williams. So instead of using, you know, Piguero or Piamps in the sixth or seventh, maybe you have to go to Hudson, Milner, or somebody else maybe a little earlier than you wish to. I'm just curious to see how they continue to manage this because right now they're operating with Uribe. Not a lot of experience there. He's got all the talent in the world. He's got the stuff that you want. But to do it consistently like Williams, there's only a select few in the big leagues who can do that.
Well, I think the one thing, that Greg, and I think you would agree with me, is the balance that they have in the bullpen. They don't have Devin Williams, and we all know that he's going to be out 6 weeks. It's going to take some time. But it also gives guys different opportunities. Is Abner Uribe going to be the closer each and every time they get in the game and need a closer? Yeah, possibly. He's got that style of stuff, but I think when you look at it, you see the balance that they have with Piamps and Padero, and you got the two lefties out there. That balance is going to allow Murph to make those decisions that he has to do. Because what do we always say? You have the starter, and then you have what? The closer for the starter, and then you have the guy who sets up, and then you have your closer. So there's a mixture of times when you come in a ball game where it's actually like a closer in a sixth or seventh inning. That you come in a ball game, not only the closer in the ninth. And I think with the flexibility and the way this ball club is set up, I think that flexibility is really going to pay off for this ball club because you can use guys in different situations. And now is the time without Devin Williams that Murph can really move guys around, try guys at different times like he did with Piguero tonight and see how it works out.
Jackson Chirio 0 for 5 in the leadoff spot tonight. Rhys Hoskins 0 for 4. Still, the Brewers played 6 runs in a 6-5 win over the Mariners. Will try and make it 2 in a row and win the series tomorrow. We'll hear from Oliver Dunn, one of the stars of tonight's game, coming up on the other side. Some highlights as well. Augie, appreciate your time tonight. We'll check in again soon. Nice to talk about a win after tonight's game.
It's always, anytime you can talk about a win, but always when you get in that series, you got to get that first win. Seattle's a good ball club, so anytime you can go in a series and win that series, it's going to be great. Great being with you, Greg.
Good stuff, Augie. We'll talk again soon.
Sure will.
You bet. Former Brewers pitcher Jerry Augustine joining us here at Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. We'll hear from Oliver Dunn following his big night. First big league home run tonight. Also delivered what appeared to be a very much insurance run, but a very important run in tonight's game as the Brewers hold on for a 6-5 win in walk-off fashion. More after this. It's Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the state for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member, FDIC. 6-5, the final. You heard the highlight coming back there. Oliver Dunn with his first big league home run, and it was key. He was key tonight in the Brewers' 6-5 win over the Seattle Mariners. So Oliver Dunn, the DH tonight, 2-for-4, and credited with a pair of RBIs, including his first home run as a big leaguer. And, you know, again, we're talking about a lot of firsts here for the Milwaukee Brewers, a team that is full of youth and full of opportunistic players who are making the most of their opportunities. Oliver Dunn, the latest. He joined Lane Grindle on the Brewers Radio Network postgame following tonight's game, a 6-5 win for the Crew.
Oliver Dunn, what a day for him. Not only his first career home run, he drives in another big run in the eighth inning as well. He finishes 2-for-4 and drives in two, has a stolen base to go along with it. Not only that, he's the bookend today. He was our pregame guest. Now he's our postgame guest. That's all in all a great day. Oliver, congratulations, man. This has been some kind of first week in the big leagues for you.
It's been awesome. Thank you. Thank you for bringing me on. Excited to talk to you guys. But it's been awesome, and, you know, we've been winning games, which makes it better.
Take me through the at-bat. A 1-1 pitch, and I mean, there was no doubt about it. You knew probably the minute you hit it.
Yeah, I knew I got it pretty good, and I knew I hit it high enough. He threw me a really good cutter the pitch before, and so I was just making sure I was going to see it out over the plate and got a pitch to drive.
This team right now, it's early, but the vibes are really good. You can see it from the booth where we're at. You can see it. You can feel it. You and I talked about it before the game today. There's just a lot going well with this group.
Absolutely. You know, it's obviously that's the cool thing about baseball is you got 162 and you hope to keep it going for, you know, the whole season. But right now we're really locked in. I think we're doing a great job of, you know, executing our game plans. And, I mean, really just playing good baseball, winning the close games, you know, extending innings when we need to. It's been fun, and, you know, we want to keep it going.
So much about this team right now is about 1 through 9, guys getting the job done. Everybody's contributing to these wins right now. Do you feel that too?
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of what we, you know, see as our identity, right? Like we're high pressure, 1 through 9, we're going to give you tough ABs. We're going to get guys on, make something happen on a base pass. Like we want to try to, you know, be a complete offense, and we're doing a good job of it right now.
Well, Oliver, enjoy this. Man, what a day for you. Great moment. It's a day you're going to remember for the rest of your life. Congratulations, and can't wait to see you at the ballpark again tomorrow. Do it again.
Can't wait to be back. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, boy, you got to enjoy every bit of this if you're Oliver Dunn, right? You get your opportunity not only to make a major league club coming out of spring training, but then also earn playing time. If it's one thing we've learned about Pat Murphy so far, and I think we learned this under Craig Counsell as well, young players get their opportunities, right? If a player's called up, they're not sitting around too long. They will likely be in the lineup day one just to get the jitters out, right? Jackson Chourio hit a leadoff in his first ever game in the big leagues. He's been leadoff. He's been last in the lineup. He's been fifth in the lineup, kind of all over the place. And he's also performed and produced in each spot in the lineup that he's played in. Tonight, notwithstanding, 0-for-5, a chance to win the game in the ninth inning, ended up striking out. He'll have plenty of more opportunities, no doubt. But Oliver Dunn is getting a little bit increased playing time because of the injury to Garrett Mitchell, right? If you talk about Mitchell being your starting center fielder, we thought that maybe, just maybe, Sal Frelick would be your opening day third baseman. You've got Joey Ortiz over there as well. Well, the injury to Mitchell forces Frelick into a starting position in center field, and now you've got this Dunn-Ortiz sort of platoon at third base, and Oliver Dunn makes the most of his opportunity tonight with a home run and an RBI late and a couple of hits, and he's just getting his feet wet in his first season as a big leaguer. You have to love it. It's such a cool story, and there's a variety of these stories with the Brewers this year, so get used to it. And just think about what this team could be when Garrett Mitchell and Devin Williams return. Talking about an all-star closer, one of the best in all of Major League Baseball, and a guy in Mitchell who I still think has star potential. He has star written all over him. It's just a matter of staying healthy and getting back into the Brewers lineup. But the Brewers are doing more than just treading water without one of their absolute best players and a guy who could certainly develop into being one of their best players. 6-5, the final. Not exactly a hit parade for either team tonight, but the Brewers do pound out 8 hits in earning the victory over the Mariners. 4 walks in the ninth inning. That was it. That was it for the Brewers. Didn't even have to take the bat off their shoulders in earning this win. It's 11:07 on WTMJ. We'd love to hear from you at 855-616-1620. We'll wrap up the program about 11:30 tonight. More after this on WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Greg Matzek.
All right, let's roll through the game. A 6-5 win for the Milwaukee Brewers. How did it all boil down? Freddy Peralta on the mound for the Brewers, looking to build off an absolute gem in his first start of the season against the New York Mets. It was ultimately the Brewers who would put a dent in the scoreboard first. Willy Adames goes big fly to right center in his first home run of the season.
Looking for his first homer, and this one driven out to right. That might be it. Heading towards the porch and gone. Willy Adames gives the Brewers a 1-0 lead.
Oliver Dunn would fly out to right field. Reese Hoskins would strike out swinging. Sal Frelick would then single to center, and that would set the stage for Joey Ortiz, another one of the new faces on the roster.
Gilbert, ready in his payoff. Line drive right field. Backing up Haniger over his head and off the wall and a bounce. Frelick scores. Darting for second, Ortiz, it's an RBI double.
And the Brewers would take a 2-0 lead. Bryce Durang would fly out to end the inning. After a stolen base, of course, right? Stolen base is the thing of the season so far for the Milwaukee Brewers. Freddy Peralta would come back out and work the top of the third in a very painless 1-2-3 inning for Peralta. He was just sort of cruising along at that point. The Brewers would also go quietly in the top of the third. Mariners had four batters hop into the batter's box in the fourth, but still, no runs, no hits for the Mariners. So nice and quiet, moving along. It's 2-0 Brewers going into the bottom half of the fourth inning. Willy Adames lined out to center. Good contact on the baseball, but ultimately resulting in an out. That set the stage for Oliver Dunn.
The 1-1 pitch. Hit in the air, deep right field. Back goes Haniger at the track wall. Second deck for Oliver Dunn. His first career home run. 3-0 Brewers.
413 feet to right center, a no-doubter for Oliver Dunn. 3-0 Brewers. Reese Hoskins would strike out swinging, so would Sal Frelick. But still, the Brewers doing some damage. A crooked number on the board and a 3-0 lead going into the fifth. A 1-2-3 inning as Peralta continued to cruise in the fifth, but he did run into some trouble in the sixth inning. After allowing a leadoff single to J.P. Crawford, he then hit Rodriguez, putting runners on first and second with one out after retiring Polanco on a pop-out. Mitch Haniger singled to left. Crawford would score. Rodriguez would go to second. Haniger would ultimately end up on second after a wild pitch. So a little self-sabotage for Peralta, who allowed three straight hits and a wild pitch. And in the blink of an eye, it was 3-3. A tie ball game in the top of the sixth inning. Brian Hudson would come in on relief for Freddy Peralta and ultimately hit the first batter he faced, but he would retire Taylor on a ground ball to first, and it was 3-3 going into the Brewers' half of the sixth. And very quickly, the Brewers regained the lead. It's 3-3. You're thinking, oh boy, is the pressure on the Brewers now to come back? Is the momentum with the Mariners? Well, Christian Yelich did his best to put the momentum back on the Brewers' side.
Deep breath, and the 1-1. High drive! Deep right! Where's it going to land? Way back in the second deck. Number 3 for Yelich. That slider didn't slide at all.
431 feet to right field, an absolute blast from Christian Yelich. Jeff Levering would go on to say that he obliterated the baseball. Yes, he did. And very quickly, Jeff knew that ball was out, and it was out by a long way. Rare territory for a ball to land at American Family Field. But that was it for the Brewers in the fourth inning. Just one run on one hit. I'm sorry, they came in the sixth inning as the Brewers regained the lead 4-3. Quiet top of the seventh inning. Hudson stayed on in the game. This was an interesting decision, I felt, from Pat Murphy. He got Luis Urias to strike out swinging. Crawford, the lefty, then grounded out the shortstop. Then Rodriguez stepped in and played a dangerous hitter and a right-handed hitter against a lefty in Hudson and a guy whose motion is very tricky and very difficult for lefties to pick up. Murphy, riding his gut, stayed with Hudson in the top of the seventh. he got Rodriguez to ground out. So a 1-2-3 inning for Brian Hudson. Four outs recorded, getting out of a jam in the sixth and ultimately cruising through the seventh. Brewers went quietly in the bottom half of the seventh. Mariners did the same in the bottom half, or I should say top half of the eighth. In the bottom half of the eighth, after Jackson Chourio flied out to right, William Contreras singled to right field. Christian Yelich struck out swinging. Then Willy Adames followed with a single. So first and second with two out, and it was Oliver Dunn once again in the batter's box. Dunn scoring Contreras, and scoring Contreras and sending Willy Adames to third base. Reese Hoskins would fly out to center to end the inning. So it's 5-3 Brewers going into the top of the ninth. Abner Urimé on to close it out for the Brewers. He allowed a single, and you started to move to the edge of your seat as soon as that single was allowed, and then it was another single, right? Back-to-back singles, runners on first and third. Luis Urias then hit a ground rule double to center field. It was a blast off the bat, and you know, quite frankly, maybe the Brewers are lucky that ball goes over the fence and limits Urias to a ground rule double. Nevertheless, a run scored, making it 5-4. Crawford then grounded out to Abner Uribe. So there's two out. You're looking at an opportunity to close things out, win the game in the top of the ninth, but the Mariners had other ideas.
Base open. Here's the pitch. Ground ball to short. Adames has it. He's going to go get the out at first. Rodriguez with a ground ball that ties the game 5-5.
And the inning would ultimately end with Mitch Haniger flying out to center field. So Andrés Muñoz on to pitch the ninth inning. A flame-throwing right-hander for the Mariners as the Brewers sent Sal Frelick to the plate. Well, he walked. Jake Bowers hit for Ortiz. He walked, moving Frelick to second. Bryce Terang also walked. These are some close pitches, but the Brewers, sensing an opportunity to get runners on base without even having to swing, took advantage of the opportunity. Bases loaded, nobody out, tied at 5 in the ninth inning. Jackson Chourio struck out looking to go 0 for 5 on the night. And then it was William Contreras who stepped into the batter's box in the number 2 hole with a chance to win the game.
Muñoz sets and deals. A slider, ball 4, and the ball game is over. It's a bases loaded walk. William Contreras will touch first base. Frelick touches home. And the epitome of a walk-off indeed in Milwaukee. 4 walks. And the Brewers beat the Seattle Mariners by a final of 6-5.
Yeah, pretty crazy finish. But the Brewers hang on and earn the victory with, can you call them heroics? I suppose plate discipline is worthy of hero status as the Brewers pick up a win. 6-5 the final. 8 hits for the Brewers, 8 hits for the Mariners. No errors for either team. Muñoz picks up the loss in his 1/3 inning of work. Abner Uribe, despite blowing the save, does pick up the win. He did allow 3 hits and 2 earned runs and a walk in his 1 inning of work. Still, he does get the victory. And a nice start for Freddy Peralta. I think the final line really not indicative of just how in command and dominant he was at times. 7 strikeouts and just 1 walk for Peralta. He did run into trouble in that 6th inning. Couldn't quite complete the frame, so he gets a no decision in the game and officially on the hook for 3 runs allowed in 5 2/3 innings. Brewers improved to 5-1 with the win. The Mariners fall to 3-5 with the loss. We'll hear from Brewers manager Pat Murphy and preview tomorrow's matchup as we wrap up Brewers Extra Innings after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Wrapping up Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Greg Matzik with you until 11:30. Let's go back into and listen from Pat Murphy, Brewers manager, following tonight's win. A 6-5 win. Brewers winning it in walk-off style, quite literally, in the ninth inning. 4 walks. They didn't really even need to take the bat off their shoulder in earning a win. And that was thanks, in part, to a strike zone that was a little bit tight, no doubt about it, but Andrés Muñoz was just having struggle with his command. Pat Murphy talked about the way that ninth inning unfolded for the Crew.
Well, when you got a guy that is as talented and impressive as Muñoz, you know what I mean, in his career, and we had a young umpire who was very good tonight, very good. He was very, very tight. He was more tight than other umpires. Some of the young guys have that where they're calling it, you know, like nothing on the corner. And, yeah, I thought he did a really good job, but Muñoz was close but not there. So very frustrating, I'm sure, for the other team. But credit to our guys for having good at-bats.
As for the offensive heroics, you can point the finger in a couple of different directions with Willy Adames and Christian Yelich. But also, Oliver Dunn hit his first big league home run tonight, also delivered an RBI single in the late stages of the game to pad the Brewers' lead at the time, all in his first true opportunities as a big leaguer.
He's also a very young player, has never played higher than Double A. It's a real credit to him, what he's done to prepare himself to be a big leaguer. We told him in the middle of Major League camp, we told him, you're a big leaguer, and you're going to be in the big leagues this year. So I talked to him about, like, look, call your parents, tell them you're going to be a big leaguer, plan your, I don't know when it'll be, but plan it. So get it out of your head, worrying about tickets and flights and stuff like that. Worry about your first at-bat and your teammates. That's it. And he's responded pretty well. I didn't know that he'd be here that quick.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy following tonight's win over the Seattle Mariners. Elsewhere around the league and on the scoreboard, the Cubs pick up a win over the Dodgers, 9-7 the final. Dodgers outhit the Cubs 12-9, but the Cubs put the runs on the board and improved to 5-2, 4-0 at Wrigley. The Dodgers fall to 7-3 with tonight's loss. Elsewhere around the division, the Pirates fall to the Baltimore Orioles, 5-2 the final. Pittsburgh now 6-2 on the season. The Reds are now 4-3 on the season after falling to the Mets. So they played a doubleheader yesterday. The Mets won one of those two games. They get a victory again today, 3-2 the final. Reds now 4-3, 2-2 on the home field. Phillies blanked the Nationals by a score of 4-0, just two hits for Washington in a shutout loss. The Braves topped the Diamondbacks in 10 innings, 6-5 the final. Everything else is in the American League and has also gone final today. The Brewers will get back after it tomorrow, taking on the Mariners in Game 2 of this three-game series. D.L. Hall will make his first career start as a Brewer at American Family Field. He started, of course, in the first series against the Mets, had a pretty nice start as well. So the Brewers will have a lefty on the mound, and we'll see if they can win this series tomorrow. Also should be noted that Wade Miley made a rehab start tonight for AAA Nashville, and I think the Brewers have an understanding with Wade Miley. He is going to be in and out of the rotation. It's just kind of how it is with him, right? If you saw how last year played out, it's exactly how it played out. He was in and out of the rotation. When in, he was very much effective, and that's why the Brewers have him back and you know, in the position to be a starting pitcher on this team. Three innings pitched for Miley today, two hits, one earned run, a couple of walks, three strikeouts, limited to 55 pitches. So a rehab start for Miley. He will likely make another start here as he works through his stretch on the 15-day injured list, and ultimately back into the Brewers' rotation. Yeah, we'll see what happens to the rotation once Miley does return. Also keep in mind, Aaron Ashby is available as a starter for the Brewers if needed. Jacob Junis is dealing with a little something, so we'll see if he has to miss his next start. We shall see. 6:10, the first pitch tomorrow at American Family Field. Our network coverage will get underway at about 5:35, and Dom Catronio will be back for Brewers Extra Innings following tomorrow's game. So catch up with Dom, hopefully talking about another Brewers win and a win of the series here against the Seattle Mariners. Brewers have yet to lose a series so far. How about that? You sweep the Mets, you split against the Twins, got an opportunity to win this series against the Mariners tomorrow. It'll all wrap up on Sunday, and then it's off to Cincinnati for a four-game series against the Reds. We are out of time on tonight's program. I want to thank our producer, Matt Easel, for producing the program. My thanks to Jerry Augustine for joining us as well. Always great to connect with Augie and you as well after a 6-5 win. Brewers pick up the victory. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night on Brewers Extra Innings. Our network coverage gets underway at 5:35. Enjoy the rest of your night on WTMJ.